I want to share with you just this verse 42 out of Acts chapter 2. And it reads in this way. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. Amen. They devoted themselves. And that's what I want to wrap this theme around, this sermon. They devoted themselves. The dictionary defines devotion as a feeling of strong love or loyalty. It is the use of time, money, energy, etc. for a particular purpose. And in our text, it's a religious fervor and zeal filled with passion and urgency. And when I think of one being devoted, the word that really comes to mind is the word commitment. The text says that they devoted themselves or committed themselves. And you know what it means to be committed to something. Yesterday evening, there was a lot of people that was committed to their U of L basketball game. It didn't matter what the weather was or what your subdivision was like. It didn't matter that they barely barely won a game by an unranked team. They was very highly committed and devoted. Yes, I am. And when they finally did win by the hair of their chinny chin chin, you would think that it was the championship game. There was a whole lot of folk that was devoted on yesterday. You know what devotion is, don't you? Yeah. I know you do. They said if you would take care of your job, then your job would take care of you, and you made sure you was there. You got all the overtime that you can get when somebody couldn't make it. You said that you would be there. You took real good care of your job. You came on time. You left on time. You didn't cheat nobody. You did the very best that you could. You know what it means to be devoted. You know what it means to be devoted, committed to take care of your spouse or significant other. You took your oaths unto the Lord seriously. To death do us part, in sickness and in health. You've been there. When they didn't look as good as they used to look, couldn't do what they used to be able to do, couldn't fulfill all their promises. You know what it really means to be committed. You was committed to your spouse, your loved one, your significant other, your bad partner. You know what it means to be committed. You was there that 60 out of the 40, and they seemed like they was never there to provide their 60 when it was that time. You know what it means to be committed and to be devoted. You know what it means to be devoted, committed to your children. You give the very best that you have, and sometimes it doesn't seem like they really care. I really understand what you sacrificed on that behalf. Work 2-3 jobs to make ends meet. Find way out of no way. You took loss so that they can have. You really know what it means to be committed, what it means to be devoted, what it means to go out. You know what it means to sacrifice. We all are committed, are devoted to something. That means we all give ourselves over to something that we think gives meaning and purpose in our lives. We're devoted. But herein lies the problem. Just because you're committed to something doesn't mean that that's something that you're committed to is devoted back to you. You can give yourself to that job, give your time, give your effort, give your energy, make that job your world. But then when that job can no longer use you, you know, when they get tired of always you showing up in the office, when they decide to go into another direction, when a merger happens, or somebody overtakes, all that faithfulness seems to go out the window. What they tell you? Don't take it as personal. It's just business. End up downsizing the job. You can give yourself fully in that relationship, give the very best years that you have, show up when nobody wants to be bothered with them, support them even when they're wrong. You know what it means to be fully committed in a relationship. But sooner or later, either by choice or by death, one of y'all gonna leave the other one. You can make your children the center of your universe. But one day they do really need to grow up, leave the nest, take care of themselves, go on with their own life. I need to ask you today, what are you devoted to? Now, maybe you have a hard time answering that question. You really don't think that you really aren't devoted to anything other than the Lord. So let me help you out. The Bible says where your treasure is, your heart will be also. So maybe a better question is to ask, where is your heart? So maybe, what is it that you can't live without? Whatever that thing is, whatever that is, that's what you're devoted to. But the old cliche is true. You don't know God is all you need until God is really all that you got. For you can't serve two masters. You either love the one, be devoted to the one, be passionate about the one, and hate the other. You can't serve God and money. You can't serve God and your ego. You can't serve God and then coddle your pride. You can't serve God and be led by your emotions and your intellect. You can't serve God and be controlled by your appetite. What are you devoted to? You can't serve two masters, for God is a jealous God, and you can't have any other before God. But if you seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, all of your needs will be provided for. And Paul says, according to his riches in glory. And I like that because you have to read that text in the context of what Paul also said. He said, I know what it is to be in need. I know what it is to have plenty. I learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well fed or whether I'm hungry, whether I live in plenty or I'm in want. And yet Paul declares that God will supply all of your needs according to his riches in glory. And that thought alone makes me wonder about the saying in this text, they were devoted. You see, brothers and sisters, being devoted to God doesn't mean you won't go hungry sometimes. Being devoted to God doesn't mean you won't lose or suffer loss. Being devoted to God doesn't mean that life won't give you some disappointments. But when you're devoted to God, you can go through the storm of life with your faith intact, resting on the promises of God. For Jesus says, in this world you will have some tribulations, but fear not, I've overcome the world. Paul said, I can stay devoted to God because even when I'm weak, the Lord, he makes me strong. I can stay devoted to God because no matter what you think about me, my God chose the weak in order to dumbfound the strong. You may not want to be in a committed relationship with me, but I know I'm valuable because in the Creator's eyes, he had made no junk. Then I'm convinced that no matter what happens, nothing can separate me from the love of God. Paul didn't get discouraged when people came, when trouble came, because when trouble did come, Paul saw it as an opportunity for God to make good on his word. Paul saw his problems as a means to broaden his testimony in the Lord. If there wasn't a need, how would you ever know that God could fill it? I know I'm right about it because Paul said, I know what it means to have plenty. Paul said, I learned the secret of being content. Can I just say that if Paul had to learn the secret, then he had to go through some things before he came to the conclusion. He said, whether he was well fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want, if you didn't go hungry, how would you ever know that Jesus is food when you're hungry and water when you're thirsty? If you never felt the sting of disappointment, how would you ever know that the Holy Spirit can be your comforter? If you never felt like you were alone and like nobody understood what you were going through, how would you ever find that you have a friend in Jesus? If you never felt the lows in life, how would you say amen when somebody said that Jesus is the lily of the valley? If you never knew what it was to be late on paying a bill, how would you ever know that Jesus is an on-time God? Yes, he is. If you never felt the desperation of being lost in this sinful world, how could you be motivated by the revelation that Jesus is our Savior? If you never felt confused by your plans but not working out the way you thought they should, how could you ever come to the revelation that Jesus is Lord over your life? Can I just say, after the storm is over and the sunshine is back out, thank God for the storms in your life. After the crisis of your life been resolved and you've been given some peace of mind, thank God for your crisis. After your problems have found closure, don't forget to go back and praise God for your problems, because there's some things you can only learn about the awesomeness of God through your pain, your disappointment, your setbacks and your problems. You can only call him a way maker if he ever needed him to make a way out of no way. I know I'm right about it. Sometimes you need to say, thank you, Lord, for all my problems, because if it wasn't for my problems, I wouldn't have a testimony. Dietrich Bonhoeffer calls it a cheap grace. Trying to live life without having no problems, and God becomes your personal genie, and we don't live on cheap grace. Well, you may be asking yourself, what does this all have to do with being devoted? Well, I'm glad you asked, because you have to see who they were being devoted and committed to. The text says that they were devoted to the apostles' teachings. That, my brothers and sisters, means that they were a church that was ever interested in learning all that they could about this Jesus they served. They had a commitment to go deeper, learn more, draw closer to the Lord. And brothers and sisters, I have to point out that the devotion is to the apostles' teachings more than it is to the apostles themselves. They were devoted to their teachings and not necessarily to the 12 men who taught the lesson. You remember what Jesus said about the Pharisees, don't you? He said, the teachers of the laws and the Pharisees, they sit in Moses' seat. So you must obey them and do everything they tell you to do. But don't do what they do, for they don't practice what they preach. Now, this is important because sometimes the teacher teaches truths that they themselves can't wrap their minds around. Sometimes teachers teach truths that were handed down to them, but they're not fully convinced of themselves. Sometimes the teachers rightly divide the word of truth, but has a hard time applying it to their own life. Don't get so caught up on the personality, but respect the position. They devoted themselves to the teachings of the apostles. That means they taught under the authority of God. And I know I'm right about it, because you remember when Paul had to check Peter and how he was acting with the Gentiles. One minute he was eating with the Gentiles, fellowshipping with the Gentiles. But then when the Jews came around, he distanced himself from the Gentiles out of fear for the Jews. Paul wasn't addressing the position, but he was addressing Peter, the man. The teaching is good. And Paul said, if anyone else comes teaching some other gospel, let them be eternally condemned. And I have to point out to you today that they were devoted to the apostles' teachings, not just because they had title, but because they've been through the fire of life. They were devoted to their teaching because they could see in the apostles that their teaching was good. Sometimes you have to tell the story, and sometimes people need to see the story in you. You can lead people if you've never been anywhere, and then you have to come back from where you've been. Some people have been places, they've seen things, but they never got over what they've been through. And I have to ask you today, what are you devoted to? You devoted to some New Age theology, some pop culture philosophy? Well, you don't have to understand what it means. You have to understand what it means to be devoted. Because the apostles stayed committed even after Jesus was crucified. They stayed committed even after they were ran out of town. They stayed committed after being arrested and their brothers and sisters executed, lynched, and stoned. That's what it means to be devoted. Devotion is not like a fair weather friend here today, then gone tomorrow. Devotion doesn't leave when the weather gets bad. Devotion isn't dependent on you getting your way. Devotion isn't predicated on blessings falling down from heaven. But because of who God is, we are devoted. Just because of who he is and not what he may do. For the truth of the matter is, if he doesn't do anything else, he's already done enough. Oh, you don't actually believe that. You don't really get that. It's like your mother and father. They had you, clothed you, fed you,
trained, you showed you, but at some point you can't keep being upset about what mom and daddy didn't do when they did the very best that they had. That's when you have to turn around. And at some point you got to realize that mom and daddy gave you all that you need in order to make it in this world, even if it wasn't always right, because you can learn two things from people. You can learn what to do and you can learn what not to do. All you have to do is use what you have. Start where you are. Stay devoted to the Lord. Through good times and bad times, stay devoted. Through ups and downs, stay devoted. Because the same one who got you here is the same one that can keep you, preserve you, raise you back up. And if it be his will, the Lord can also promote you. But be devoted, because a devoted person is a grateful person. And a grateful person realizes that whatever the Lord gave them, they didn't really deserve anyway. But that is just a gift from God called grace and mercy. What are you devoted to? They were devoted to the teachings of the apostles. And they were also devoted to fellowship. There is strong benefit with being devoted to fellowship. But you can't be in fellowship and be in it all by yourself. You can't be all by yourself because you think that you don't need to be with other like-minded Christians. And so you just listen to the religious program on the radio station. You watch your favorite evangelist on YouTube. But there is benefit in knowing others and being known yourself. One benefit is that when you fellowship with others, the devil is shamed, because when two or three get together, Jesus will show up. And when Jesus shows up, you're already in the majority. For just with 12 people, Jesus turned the whole world upside down. And then when that 12 people, it grew to 120. And after Peter got done preaching, it grew to 3,000. Then under persecution, the gospel spread throughout the whole known world. You can't effectively evangelize the world when you won't even come out and fellowship with other believers. That's not for you. That's for one of your friends, because you here right now. But you need to tell some of your friends who think they don't need to be in the fellowship. They just got a spiritual relationship with the Lord, but they won't even get together with all of his children. You need to let them know you can't be a part of the fellowship and you won't come around his people. The other reason that fellowship is good is because it reminds you that there is suffering, there is fellowship in suffering. You're not the only one going through something. You're not the only one who suffered loss in life. But likewise, there are some other folk that went through what you're going through and can be an encouragement, that if God kept them, then the Lord can also keep you. Fellowship is good, and we must be devoted and committed to the fellowship, for two are greater than one. One falls in the ditch, then who can get them out? But if one is cold, the other can help keep them warm. A three-braided cord is not easily broken. Be devoted to the fellowship, because there is strength for the journey in the fellowship. What's that? What's that? You don't get anything out of the fellowship? Well, I said, you have to be devoted to the fellowship. And that's different than just showing up on a Sunday morning or a special event. When you're devoted, you give yourself to the fellowship and you allow the fellowship to give back to you. You have to be committed to the fellowship and not just a frequent visitor that never engages. And likewise, you have to be able to accept something or someone getting close to you. If you're going to be devoted to the fellowship, you can't just bless others and then not let them bless you back. You can't just touch others and then not want anybody to touch you. You can't just want others to share who they are, but you want to keep everything hidden and secret about who you are. Maybe you don't get anything out of the fellowship because though you may be a member, you never really join the fellowship. You're a distant disciple that can't get connected because you haven't devoted yourself to the teachings, but you still want to claim the place as your own.
Oh, I know I'm right about it. What are you devoted to? They were devoted to the apostles' teaching, to the fellowship, and to the breaking of bread and prayer. This, my brothers and sisters, is in reference to taking the Lord's Supper. And you have to understand the significance of this devotion. Because in verse 46 of our text, we see a glimpse of what devotion really is when it says every day. You see, this devotion isn't just a practice, but it's a lifestyle. Every day. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching every day. And it's a struggle now to even get people to come out to Bible study once a week. Every day. They were devoted to the fellowship, but we live in a day and age where people just like to jump around from church to church, trying to find something for them, but never really thinking about what they can give back to somebody else. But here is the significance of them breaking bread every day as a sacrament unto the Lord. They didn't have refrigerators, and it was a real possibility that if you were not a person of means or of stature in society, that it would be hard to even get a meal every day. If you ate once a day, then you were blessed. But the Bible says that they broke bread every day and prayed. Thank God for his provisions. Thank God for his acts of power. And want to thank God for making a way out of no way. That is what it means to be devoted. Oh, you missed it. And that's because it seems like a small thing to you and to me. But have you ever gone hungry? Has your power ever gone out? Your refrigerator got cut off. Your LG&E went down. Have you ever went and didn't know where your next meal was coming from? You had mouths to feed. The Bible said every day they broke bread and they prayed. You still don't see the significance of that. In order to have communion, you got to have some bread to break. In order to worship and praise the Lord, you got to have provisions to be thankful for every day. They got together and they broke bread. Thank God for his wonders. He makes a way out of no way. He does some small things in your life, but if for somebody else, it's a miracle in the making. They didn't have ends meet, but somebody brought some bread to break, and they stayed and they fellowship. If that don't make you praise the Lord, if that don't make you thank God for all that he's done in your life, oh, I know you can't wrap your mind around it because you got a refrigerator full of food, but go without sometimes. And when somebody shows up, you won't mind praising the Lord, thanking him for what he's done. The Bible said it was a lifestyle every day. What are you devoted to? Every day. What are you thankful for? Every day. What can't you live without? Every day. They study. Every day. They fellowship. Every day. They commune together. Every day. They pray. Every day. Thank God, that's what it means to be devoted. It ain't a once a week celebration. It ain't a once a week Bible study. It ain't praying when I get in trouble. It ain't fellowshipping when I'm trying to network. It was a lifestyle. And if the church wants to get straightened out, it better look at the text and find out what it means to be a Christian. It ain't a practice, it's devotion. Every day. Every day. Don't he bless you every day? Don't he make a way out of no way every day? Picked you up, turned you around, placed
your feet on solid ground every day, woke you up in your right mind every day, clothed you. I don't care if it was clean. I don't care if they fit right every day. Shoes on your feet, clothes on your back, food on your table. You got something to thank the Lord about. Oh, it's small to some of y'all, but if you ever been without, the small things become some big things. And when you fellowship, you start getting grateful, filled with gratitude, because you hear that the Lord is showing up in other folks' life every day. And if you don't think the Lord is showing up in your life, you just ain't looking. I'm not going to tell you to be more devoted. I'm going to tell you just look harder. Because regardless what you do, the Lord is faithful every day. You know I'm right about it. You done some stuff and got away with it. The Lord's faithful every day. You know how bad you are, but the Lord showed up and got you out of trouble anyway. You know you don't deserve what you got, but the Lord blessed you with grace and mercy anyway. You ain't got to do better. You just got to look harder, because regardless what you do, the Lord is still faithful. Somebody needs to say thank you, Lord, for being faithful. Somebody needs to say thank you, Jesus, for making a way out of no way. In spite of all my faults, you covered all of my needs. Somebody needs to confess and say, Lord, I ain't always been right, but thank you for your long suffering, because you made a way out of no way. I hope somebody gets this today, because I only got enough grace for me. You got to get some grace for you, but the Lord will show up for you just like he showed up for me. I know I'm right about it. All you got to do is trust him. All you got to do is try him. But you can't just take a little here, take a little there. You'll find out sooner or later it's all or nothing. You can't put one foot in and hold one. It ain't the hokey pokey. Take one foot out. You got to give yourself. They were devoted. And when you realize your life is really on the line, and this is not just a game that good, high-class, quality folk do is go to church, that your life is really on the line, we'll get more devoted as well. And when the people see our devotion, you won't have to talk as much. They'll come running and say, what must I do to be save every day? This is just as much as a sermon as it is a challenge. We're in the Lenten season in preparation of the coming of Jesus Christ, his resurrection, his death, burial, and resurrection. And we need to really take an inward reflection on who we say we believe in. He gave his life that we may live more abundantly. We tend to sanitize what's happened, but let me dirty it up for you. You know what's happening over in the Middle East with ISIS beheading people? There were some Christians that were killed in mass numbers. A man was set on fire. People getting their heads cut off. That is real today. And it's just as real what God did for us over 2,000 years ago when he gave his life for us. It wasn't a sanitized thing that we can wear across our necks. It was an execution of a public display of imperial power. But when he got up with all power in his hands. You know, it's very hard to preach around this season, because we're supposed to keep the Lord up on the cross until he's resurrected again. But some folk may sit in the pews like Judas. And if you take all hope away, they may go the way of Judas. You got to give people some hope. Peter had hope. He held on just a little while longer.
in your midnight hour, in your dark situation, know that there's hope. You may have to go through the crucifixion, but there is a resurrection. You may have to go through the storm, but there is hope on the other side if you just hold on. It's not a setup for failure. It's a setup for God's glory in your life. Don't go the way of Judas and give up all hope for the mistake that you made. Know that the Lord can forgive, restore, fix, and strengthen you in any way. We open up the doors of the church today. And we invite you to devote your life back to the Lord. Not just as some activity that you do every now and then, if you think about it. Not something that you put on your ringtone to remind you it's time to pray or it's time to read the Bible. But something that you do as a lifestyle every day. Let us stand as the choir leads us in this song. The Bible says, if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord, believe in your heart that God raised you from the dead, you shall be saved. But don't just get dipped in the water and think that your journey is over, because water didn't save you anyhow, but Jesus does. Stay close to the Master, and he'll begin to change you and your situation and circumstances. He'll strengthen you for the journey. He'll help you to see his marvelous glory and power in your life. If you stay with the Lord, it won't be sunshiny days all the time, but you'll be kept in perfect peace in the middle of the storm. You may cry sometimes, but you won't cry as if one has no hope. You'll know that the Lord is going to fix it however it may be, and whatever it may be. May not be your plan, may not be my plan, but as long as it's God's plan, we know we're in good hands. Trust him today. He has the answer unto life. This is your invitation. The Lord is calling to you. The Lord is calling to you.